So I have a list of things to open with that I just keep on my phone when I think of things. And one of them's just Amy Adams. And I don't remember why I put it there.
Because she's the most important person in the world.
I have no idea.
I might have forced you to put it on there. There's a good chance of that.
I haven't considered that. Yeah, it just says Amy Adams. So I guess we're starting with Amy Adams. Pro? Con? This is a pro Amy Adams podcast, I guess.
Who's Amy Adams?
Oh, fucking better be. Jesus. No, Squank.
Redhead. Well, actress.
What? Both of you?
I don't watch a lot of movies.
She's been in big movies. She was,
I mean, I probably know her face. I just don't, like...
Yeah.
She no, was the, can't put a name.
Do you ever see the movie Arrival? Because that's Amy Adams.
I think so.
The Superman movies? The newest ones?
Never seen them.
Okay, I'm gonna
Caligator Nights?
I've seen that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's the Will Ferrell's, like, not wife, but the other girl he's with.
The girl that's with glasses.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, this one.
And then she takes
also
off the
glasses. Fighter with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, she's very good. Enchanted.
Yeah, she's
American
Enchanted
Hustle.
Too.
Night at the Museum. The Muppets.
Nope. She's in Night at the Museum. Damn.
There is.
All right.
I think
very pro.
Wait, is that real? Then.
Well, it's Wikipedia.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
The Battle of the Smithsonian. Is that the second one?
Yeah.
They made another one?
They made like three.
Where have I been?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh.
The first one was pretty good.
First one was killer.
Yeah.
I love the first one.
All right. This is episode 68. We intro. What? We did it.
Oh. Oh, man. That's hysterical.
How dare you?
The opener was 80 Adams, and we milked it for what it's all it's worth. Can check that one off the list.
Incredible. Work harder. Holy shit. We spent
you're an evil genius.
Trying to come up with something to intro in, thinking it was the 69th episode because Eric said that.
No.
Right before we went on.
You fucking idiots. How many episodes are we recording?
I mean, I didn't think about
it, but
it still caught me off guard.
Well, okay. This is episode 68. The next one's 69.
All right.
And nice. That's when we bring out the firecrackers and the... hey, guys. This is not the normal. Not the normal gruesome twosome.
It's not. It's a fearsome foursome.
Well, that's... top.
We'll work on that.
workshopping that. Noah, you might as well have called us the Orgy Squad. Alrighty. Okay.
But it's different for another reason, too.
What? This is not Drinking Buddies podcast. No. It's
hell
not.
No.
It's, what are we calling it? Weed? Marijuana?
No,
vitamins,
like
vitamins, medicine,
the weed cast.
I don't think anyone's ever thought of that before.
We're workshopping that too.
God damn it! I'm trying.
Noah's high band of boys.
I like that.
There we go. Going in the right direction.
Okay,
Jesus.
We didn't alcohol this time. We weeded. Except for Tom, who's gonna be the voice of reason throughout this whole fucking thing. Yes. So this time, it's Drinking Buddies podcast with a twist. Weed Buddies Noah's Band of Very High Boys podcast. We watched a movie high, except for Tom, and now we're going to talk about it, as we are also high, except for Tom. we're going to go around, you're going to state your name and what you are, or not smoking. Tom, go first.
Well, I'm Tom, and I'm not smoking. I'm drinking tea, and eating breakfast.
Is it a weed tea? Does that exist? I'm sure it exists.
It probably does exist. I'm sure they have it here.
Okay, our other guest is Squank.
I'm Squank.
You're Squank. What are you smoking?
Well, I just smoked infused pre-roll that fucking gets me blazed. It's awesome. It's infused with like dab oil shit or the stuff that's in the cartridge.
That's some intense stuff.
That's
yeah. Nice. But then I have some trusty old Gorilla Glue.
Ah.
Waiting on deck.
We have a man on deck, one. Ladies and gentlemen. And the normal, the leader of this band of high boys, Noah.
I took a Stativa edible, and that's all I know about it.
Yeah, I just thinking about it, I have no idea what I took an edible that was, it was a gummy. I think it was strawberry flavored.
Yum. Same, strawberry gummy.
Yeah, the box said relax.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Well, so I have another box that, but I fucked up. I should have tried, the other one's Elevate. But
ooh,
I didn't want to. I didn't want to
take both at the same time.
I didn't want to put. I felt like it would be too much to commit to like 2 hours of podcasting trying a brand new gummy. I feel like that's not a recipe for success. It could,
or it's a recipe for magic.
That's true.
Sometimes you just got to go for it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't. Okay. So we watched a movie, like I talked about, and that movie was Pan's Labyrinth. I Googled several lists and Reddit threads of best movies to watch high, and this one was frequently suggested. And I agree with the recommendations. My God, it was good high.
It was good film.
Absolutely.
It was a good movie.
I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad of that. I was a little concerned coming out of that, because I was like, is that just... Was it just incredible? Because, like, there's so much to grasp onto.
There's a lot going on in that movie.
Yeah.
Holy.
I was like, does this only make sense because my brain's working at a different level?
Maybe.
That's how I felt with Urban Cowboy.
Did you guys listen to those episodes, or have you seen that movie?
Of course I listened to the episodes. No, I didn't see the movie.
That movie's so garbage. It's John Travolta as, like, a cowboy in the city hitting on a girl, but it's really... really strangely done, the decisions that were made.
I think you guys would fucking love it. You find it so funny.
It's like funny in like how bad it is almost. Like, you know,
it's an awful movie. Half the movie is just him beating the crap out of her, and he's supposed to be likable.
But no, his redemption arc is his enemy beats her harder.
What?
I'm not kidding.
And they made this movie.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
In the 80s.
Yeah, it was absurd.
That was a wild time.
Yeah.
It would have been cool to be alive back then.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so this is going to go like the normal ones go. So we're going to go through the plot. Spoiler alert. We don't usually do this because it's like self-obvious. Also, this movie came out like 14 years ago. But if you are interested in watching this movie, I recommend not listening to us say everything that happens in it. Because it's just one of those movies you gotta... Also, you could get high before...
Absolutely. I don't think Hannah enjoyed it as much as I did. And was she was not.
Well, there you go. Except Tom liked tech, so there you go. Okay, I think we're gonna dive in. So like normal, I took notes, and they didn't go as well as normal. It was really stressful. I can't say underline like how stressed I was during the movie, because it was like in Spanish. It's in Spanish, so like I was afraid I was missing things, but I had to look down to write. I was stressed out the whole time. I was stressed out trying to keep up
with the subtitles.
The whole plot line was kind of super confusing for a while, and I was like, oh, I gotta focus now.
I didn't know which
I understand
I
what the girl's
for.
Doing. She's off doing her own thing, but you gotta focus on the war.
Two separate movies.
Yeah. I got caught up. There was multiple times throughout the movie where I forgot it was in Spanish. And then they would say Spanish words I recognize, and I'd be like, oh, fuck, this is Spanish. Like, I know some of these words. Did that happen to any of you?
Well, that, yeah, and they use, like, English words, too, and I was like, what?
I just assumed because he dressed like a Nazi that they were speaking in Germans for large parts of this movie.
I thought the tree thing was just, like, speaking some gibberish, too.
Yeah, but I thought it was a fake language.
But then they would like say like "Como está?" and I was like, "Oh, this is not German."
Hola.
Hola.
Papa, padre.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So the story opens with a prologue. That there is a princess and she went from the underworld to the real world and she died. That's
yeah. Right? I didn't really follow that like plot line at all. I was very confused through the opening part.
Yeah, and this is also like the weakest effects. Like the CGI did not age well. At least no, in this part. It didn't. But everything else,
I think most of it did, but
yeah. Yeah, so she's introduced as a princess, rises from the underworld, and then he builds like labyrinths to, those are like the portals where she would return one day. Yes?
I think so. You got it better than I did.
I'm reading I'm leaning on the Wikipedia plot summary, or else this would go horribly awry.
This is probably going to explain a lot about the movie to me, because I feel like I was missing a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, yeah.
This happens every episode. It's really just Eric telling me what movie we just watched.
All right, it's 1944 in Spain. I'm sorry, España.
I didn't realize it was in Spain until like halfway through the movie.
Well, I mean, there is a card in that says Spain.
When did that happen?
When they arrive in Spain.
What?
It says when the cars
in Spain.
When the cars pull up, it says Spain, 1944 on the screen. Well, it doesn't say it, it's on the screen.
Oh, it does. It does.
You gotta read it.
I thought it was a sign in the movie. Okay.
No, it's even more obvious than that.
It's in both languages.
If it were a sign in the movie, that'd be fucking stupid. Just telling everybody you're in Spain.
Okay. Spain is here.
Spain, and it is 1994.
Yeah.
Whenever it was.
So this is okay. This is, I didn't really know this, but like it is real world Spain in 1944. This is just after the Spanish Civil War.
Wow.
Yeah. This knowledge would probably have helped. So this is right after the Spanish Civil War, and the Franco fascist won. His side won. Yeah. Okay.
That kind of just changed the whole movie.
Like, that's the backdrop. History,
yeah.
My fucking mind.
I didn't know this was real.
Holy.
Well,
shit.
I mean,
so much more intense.
Well,
now.
I mean, it's half real.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's find. I mean, I want to meet the Fond. The Fond.
It could be real.
That's
what it's called.
So they pull up in a Rolls Royce, the most evil of cars,
fucking kidding.
The mom's sick from the off. Like, that's one of the first things we basically are shown. Mom is sick and immediately we know she's gonna die.
Yeah,
it's quite obvious.
Little girl even says it. She's like, my mom's sick, have you noticed?
Yeah, that's like the first line of the movie.
It's like, yeah, I did.
Well done.
She's been throwing up half the movie.
Sick.
Until now.
She might as well have just had a t-shirt that said sick and pregnant, about to die.
I didn't see the aunt. I thought they were saying she was like sick with pregnancy. I was like, that's kind of a negative view of that. I didn't realize she was both.
Okay. I don't know what to say to that.
I thought I followed this movie, but I'm not. I thought I did better, but I have not done that.
I don't know, man. Okay. Okay. Whew. All right. Okay. And then she finds a weird rock outside
the eyeball rock.
Yeah, the eyeball rock. When she first steps out of the car and looks around, they're driving, I say, out to the country, but we now know after watching the movie that's like a battle post for the Franco fascist regime to beat down
the bad guys,
the still enemies. Yes.
Well done.
She finds rock. And she puts it on a sculpture because it was the eye of missing the sculpture. I don't know.
What a good citizen. Yeah.
Was that her first test?
I think it was, right?
How many tests did she actually have?
How many checks?
It said she had three. I feel like she had to do a lot.
If you're counting
more,
this as one,
three.
Well, no, she had three. If you don't count this,
yeah, if you don't count this, she'll have three.
Okay.
Well,
okay.
I guess we could talk. Well, I mean, we're going to talk about it. We can debate it. Was this? Some people think like this is where like she. This is her connecting the sculpture is like the beginning of her fantasy arc, which I mean it is. But it's also 3 minutes into the movie.
It's so obvious. She picks up a stone and it has an eye on it, and then she just looks at the statue and it's like, oh, it's missing an eye. I'm just going to put this here.
Right.
Yeah, she's just a normal kid, you know?
Yeah. And that's when we see the bug for the first time, is right after that.
The fairy?
Yeah, the fairy bug. Okay, my next bullet point is captain equals father. So we know...
We nailed it.
Very important.
So we know he's her stepfather because the mom makes a big deal, like, call him padre or else El Capitan will be mad. And then my next bullet point is captain equals dick. He's a dick right away.
God, he really is the worst.
Yeah, he like got mad
at
him. He
finds a way to keep getting worse until the end.
There's some my favorite point. One of my favorite points of his evil I wrote down for later. Ophelia goes exploring around the grounds, and then that's when she finds the labyrinthe, and she starts wandering in it for the first time, and that's when we meet Mercedes.
Is that? Oh, just keep
great
going.
Name.
It is a great name.
And then I wrote Mercedes, possibly a witch. She showed up rather suddenly, and I was ready for anything.
Turns out you were wrong.
I was wrong, yes.
She was more the military side of the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, the next scene is the doctor tending to the sick mother, and he like gives her that sleep potion, which we later find out is poison.
Oh, what?
Did we find out?
I saw that she killed him with the stuff, or tried to.
So that bottle.
She didn't actually do anything?
The bottle. So this is how, like, there's two readings of this movie, right? There's the fantasy one and the real one. So.
Yeah.
It's, at least to me, maybe I'm incorrect. It seemed to me El Capitan was poisoning the mother to hope so she would die in childbirth. And that sleeping potion she never took. Ophelia never gave it to her. Like, it keeps showing the bottle, and it's full the whole movie. And then she was getting better.
Oh.
Remember?
Holy shit.
But the fantasy...
Incredible read, dude.
The fantasy side is that she puts the root under the bed, and she gets better. So, like, both things are happening.
Oh, my God.
This makes so much more sense. I thought the root was actually doing stuff.
But that's... Yeah, was it?
But maybe it
was.
Been.
Yeah, exactly. Noah gets it.
Okay. Oh, I see this.
All right.
This is like some English class
shit.
Stuff.
Back to the sixth minute.
I'm expecting this level of a high throughout this entire podcast. You gotta keep coming
for.
At me with this.
Okay. So yeah. So the doctor prescribes her the sleeping medicine. Maybe it's poison. And Ophelia takes a look at it, like, I don't know about this. I think right after this is when the El Doctor and Mercedes have a conversation where Mercedes is like, you have to fix this dude's fucking leg. And I had no idea who that was until much later.
Yeah, it took a really long time to get there.
She said, like, up there, upstairs or something. And I was who is that?
Was,
and then
yeah.
They just never did anything with it.
I feel like some of that stuff got cut out. Like, there had to have been more things with that dude, the leg dude. Like, he had to have had
he
more
had
stuff.
He had one
that they just,
scene.
And he
I
seemed
loved
important.
It. He was my favorite.
He seemed
yeah.
really important.
He just did a really good job of being great, so he must have seemed important. But
he kind of
wasn't.
Stole the movie, you know?
Yeah, he did. Are we going to come back to that one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
but
good,
I think
good.
The only thing I can think of is, like, them the only thing I can think, it would have been, I think that's, they wanted to introduce the fact that, like, Mercedes and the Doctor were maybe, like, not on the straight and narrow early in the movie.
Very poor job of that.
But I think this was their attempt to do it earlier.
Oh.
I think that's why it's there.
Okay. And I picked that up for Mercedes, but not really for the Doctor.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and Ophelia overlooked that conversation. So I wrote, Ophelia saw.
Oh, yeah, she did the creepy child halfway out the door.
Yeah. So Ophelia kind of knows from the off. My next bullet point is, my left knee is so high. Left knee got super high when I was watching this movie. It was really weird.
Your knee?
Yeah, my knee. Like,
how did your knee get high?
I don't know.
Did you just, like, lift it in the air?
I don't know. The next bullet point is baby story sequence, but I don't know. I don't know what that is.
The baby doesn't come out until, like, midway through the movie, you know?
She told the baby a story? I don't know.
She told
the baby a story.
But I don't think, I'm thinking of, maybe there's a second, I'm thinking of the one where she, like, asked the baby not to kill the mother is later, though, right?
She leans on her mother's stomach and, like,
says a story. Okay. Next bullet point, laying down to see if the knee highness goes away.
Did it?
Next bullet point is no, it did not. I think the next scene is like some sort of battle planning scene with the captain. It's weird to me that he brought them into battle. I mean, he obviously doesn't give a shit about them, but like, it's just like, it feels like he brought them in the middle of a war zone.
He needs his son to be born where he is.
Yeah, I guess. We're introduced to the peasants this time. I think this is the rabbit. This is the rabbit scene. Hunting rabbits.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good scene.
Yeah. So this is when we see El Capitan's full evil the first time.
Huge dick.
Yeah. Yeah, so they run across some peasants. They think they're rebels, and they harass them because they have guns, and they're like, we're just hunting rabbits. Now, objectively, it's pretty late. I've never hunted rabbits, but it was like nighttime.
You wouldn't want to do it at midnight.
Yeah.
It would be tough.
Rabbits could be nocturnal.
Maybe. Okay. I mean, I've never hunted rabbits.
Sure. Why not?
Everything's on the table.
Just go grab them out of their homes in the night when they're sleeping.
Their rabbit dens.
I mean, you can blame Captain all you want, but the dude kind of knew. He could see through the bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so he harasses them, and then I wrote, oh my fucking god. This is when he just starts beating the kid with the fucking bottle.
He just bashes his face.
Fucking
in.
Brutal. That was
smashes
so
a hole through his head.
Yeah. Oh. And then he shoots the other one.
He stabbed that kid.
He had a
so
crater
many times.
In his face.
Really
like
over
his show should be.
Too much, dude. Too fucking much.
And then he like they search their shit and realize that they just had a bunch of dead rabbits in there. So. But no remorse from El Capitan.
I guess you do hunt rabbits at midnight.
Yeah. The next scene is when we meet the fairy. I mean, well, we've met the fairy, but it becomes a fairy.
Transforms. Megamorphs. Yeah,
the bug. It was a good twitch, because that bug was kind of creepy. I was a fan of
it. It really was.
The bug, yeah.
But I wonder why they did, why he chose to do that.
Be a bug?
Like, why not just have it be a fairy the whole time?
Because it's a test. She's being tested the whole time.
Yeah. Yeah, the fairy was just like, I think the fairy seems to me, in this scheme, the fairy seems to be like a recruiter.
Yeah.
So it can't just come out as fairy. You know, it has to be a little covert. I'm going to be a bug and check this shit out.
It's the CIA fairy ops.
Fairy ops.
I think if it's all in her head or if she really is a god.
Is she just on some of the medicines?
That's true. That? We don't know.
No, no. Yeah. She wanted it to be a fairy, so it became a fairy. She, like, spoke it into existence.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the 6 million dimensions through which you can watch this movie. But yes, that is part of it.
Boom!
Alright, and then, yeah, the fairy leads her into El Labyrinthe, where she goes to the center and makes the climb down, and we meet Un Fauno. Then he's a fairy master.
Creepy dude.
How do you feel about this? How do you feel about this scene?
Super creepy. The sound creepy he dude makes,
not a fan.
Yeah he just at the end of everything he said.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like the creepy, like the creakiness of his walk. Yeah. Fuck no.
I liked him though, because he was like, he was creepy, but also like, he played it well, where you couldn't really tell if he was good or bad.
Yeah, you really got it.
He did seem like trustworthy enough.
I wouldn't have trusted him at all. He leads you down in like a that's dark, true, creepy well thing.
I would have gone pretty deep on his schemes for sure.
Would you have made it the whole way?
I'm not saying I would have given up the kid, but I would have gotten pretty. I would have been right with Ophelia. Let me tell you that.
You would have passed those tests.
Holy fuck! I remember this because I was making myself laugh by trying to make each bullet point bigger than the last, so they just get progressively bigger throughout the page. But then I just gave up and wrote a small one after, and I was like, I can't write bigger than that.
It's as big as it goes. He ran out of font size.
Yeah.
He hit 72.
So he tells her, he tells her the game, right? She has to complete 3 tasks, and to prove, to get her immortality princess status back, to prove that she is really the one and will meet with her family. She's sad about her family. We do know this at this point because, her mom had a real dad. There's a lot of you're not my real dad vibes in this movie. A
lot of that. That was a big part of the movie.
But yeah, she had a family, she felt, and it is heavily implied, I guess later in the movie, but I don't know exactly when, that El Capitan might have decided to do away with her dad in order to be with her mom. Did you miss the whole poison thing? Because that was part of it, too. Like, she was that, like...
I missed all of this.
She said something like, dad got sick and he never got better, and the doctor kept coming, he never got better.
Oh, I didn't pick that up. It keeps connecting more and more.
Right.
Incredibly well done.
I could have just made that up, too. I thought they were speaking German, so... Okay, but he says, like, to prove that you're, like, you haven't become mortal, you have to do these tests. And I thought this was the most clever shit I've ever thought of in my entire life. But right after you said that, I wrote down Mortal Fawn Bat.
Oh, that is pretty fucking clever.
Finish him!
Yeah!
Who does she have to fight?
I don't know. The fucking old Palm Eyes?
Saggy Voldemort.
Alright. Mortal Fawn Bat. Okay, and then I was like, I didn't know you could shave like a douche. This is when he's shaving in the most evil way I've ever seen someone shave.
Yes.
Doesn't he like pretend to slit his own throat?
Yeah, when he like looks at the mirror. Yeah.
If I wasn't already out on him, it would have been here. That was bad.
Yeah, that was brutal. Oh, okay, fuckers. You know what my next bullet point is?
No.
Poison.
Again?
Well, you saw it from the very beginning.
I saw it from the beginning. High as shit.
I think I'm impressed. I don't think a lot of people know that.
I missed that completely.
I don't know how I picked it up at this point, but there is a point where I started making notes for things that happened earlier that I was like too self-conscious to write the first time, and then I was like, no, I'll just write it. So we might get some of those. Okay, this is when Merc starts. We learn that she has like a real smuggling scheme. She's like
Merc.
Oh, Mercedes. Yeah. Mercedes. Fun nickname.
I wrote down her nickname as Merc No Merc, because she's like a peasant woman, so she can't afford a Mercedes, but her name is Mercedes.
What a peasant!
Well, more of a
servant. What a peasant!
See, you are Squank has Merc, and she is Merc No Merc. Yeah, we figure out her smuggling scheme. And then we have the magic book for the first time. Where Ophelia opens it and the pages are, well, blank at first, but then she reads in the sunlight. There's just
This was really good animation.
I was about to say, like, I'm not usually this guy, but, like, there's just some moments, especially, I don't know if this was just because I was high, there's moments where I was like, this movie is, like, really well shot. Like, it just looks beautiful.
2006!
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
So long ago?
Yeah. The Dark Ages. Next bullet point. What a fucking hat.
Yes, love the hat.
God.
I tried to find one.
Everyone knows what I'm talking about, though. Like, everyone knows.
Maybe the peak of the movie.
Yeah, it's a black hat with like sticks out coming from the back. And it looks
like a triangle.
It's got like three things. Oh my god! I don't know. I did not know what to put in Google to try and find the hat.
That must be a thing.
I tried to.
Okay, so we see the Hatmen. We should say what they are. They're like part of El Capitan's troops, and they're launching an attack of some sorts or some sort of expedition. They're going out to shoot things.
Didn't they see smoke or something?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They saw smoke. They're tracking it down. Good call, Squank.
Yeah.
Well,
I thought the smoke looked really fake, so I was like, what the fuck?
Oh.
They spent so much on the hat, they didn't have money from fake smoke.
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, so this hunt is like perfectly juxtaposed with her finding the frog. Like, they're having it at the exact same time, and it's, like, panning back and forth, which is interesting.
It's got some intense music, I think.
Yeah, and she's totally wearing an Alice in Wonderland dress as she's going there, which is, you know, I think an influence, we could say. My next bullet point is Spanish, because I once again forgot this movie was in Spanish. this is when we start seeing the gnarly ass bugs when she
the big potato bugs.
Yeah, so the book leads her to frog, this tree specifically.
A toad.
Yeah, and there's a toad in the tree, and she has to like put its eyes in. Is what it said.
She has to shove something down its throat.
Oh, it has to. Okay. Yeah, or nasty shove his eyes
frog.
In. Yes. Yeah, so no. Yes. Yeah, so
burped in her face.
Yeah. So. Well, there's a couple things I'm going to say about that. But, yeah, so she's, like, crawling through all these gnarly-ass bugs to get this frog. And it was a real fucking frog. I thought it'd be, like, a stone frog, like the sculpture from the beginning. But it was a real-ass frog, and it was gnarly.
A real slimy frog.
That's no real frog. That's a huge fucking frog.
Yeah.
With a long fucking tongue.
And, the director did all the sounds for the frog.
He did?
Yeah.
He did?
I don't like that.
Did he burp into a mic?
He must have. That's what I'm assuming. I'm assuming that's what he's referring to. Yeah, that frog was wild. And then my next bullet point at the end of the frog sequence is what in the fucking world? When it throws itself up?
Oh, yeah, that was so weird. I was just like...
Jesus, yeah.
It deflates. It just... All of its insides just come and it's just... not there anymore.
And the key rises out of it, but fuck.
It's just sitting on top. Good thing it was sitting on top.
Unsettling, to say the least. All right. Cool. So that was the first task. She retrieved the key.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, are you? You guys are. Would you have left by now?
If you're Ophelia,
would we all be at this point?
Yeah. I don't know if I would have fit in the little hole. I feel like that was a really small hole. True. I probably wouldn't have fit there.
Very, very good point.
No, because if
physical abilities, we would be out of it.
Do you think they would have made the hole bigger if I was the chosen one?
Yeah, I think the hole fit. The hole matches the chosen one.
You'd dick move if they did it.
Yeah. All right, then I'd still be.
Yeah, I would make actually a pretty strong argument that if you don't fit in the hole, you are not the chosen one.
Well, then I'm back out.
No, if you see the frog, you're in, right? Like, you're like, this is real. I'm in. I'm playing these games.
Something's going on. There's no reason to turn back at this point.
Yeah. For the first of, I think, many times, I wrote the bullet point, beautiful film. Just everything looks pretty.
In the forest?
I think in the forest where is, like, the fireflies. I don't know. That's a good question.
Is it actually in Spain?
I think they filmed it in Spain.
I think...
It would make sense.
I think it's in Spain. But yeah.
It says it's in Spain. They filmed it in 1944 or whatever.
That's true. It's a documentary.
Very good point, Squank.
Okay, so yeah. So Merc finds Ophelia because she's been doing her shady-ass rebel stuff in the woods, and that's how she meets
Ophelia. Oh, yeah, her little hand signs on the lantern.
Yeah, and Ophelia's all, like, dirty, and she messed up her Alice in Wonderland dress. So... Merc takes her back, and El Capitan is a dick to her once again. He, like,
classic El Capitan.
What else is new?
Okay.
And Merc offers her to help, like, clean her off. And this scene had real Shape of Water vibes. Have you seen that movie?
No. Mm-hmm.
No.
You know what it is? It's the movie everyone made fun of for the fish fucking.
Oh, yeah.
It won Best Picture. It won Best Picture, and this director is his movie. He directed that too. He won Best Director for that. It's not. It's not a. Well, it is. There is fish fucking, but it's not like. It's there's an amphibious man in the movie, and he falls in love with a human woman.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
So that's where that guy's mind's at.
Well, you can see there's some scenes in here where I was like, I see it. Mainly because, like, when she's in the bath and, like, all that water, like, that coloring is, like, how Shape of Water is all done. So it's like, oh, I see this. I see where this went. Also, the amphibious man is the same actor as the Fawn, and that's also the same actor as Palm Eyes.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, he's talented.
Palm Eyes wasn't, like, he was a real person?
Yeah. We can talk about that later. There's a lot. Like, the opening scene is, like, CGI, but it's almost entirely practical effects and, like, makeup.
That's pretty cool.
The frog is obviously. The toad is CGI.
Okay.
I really want to see a toad.
But I think the Fawn was entirely makeup and practical effects. And, I think. Yeah. Because they were, like, I guess people, like, controlling, like, the things on his head that were fluttering and stuff. And, yeah. Huh. Okay.
That guy's incredible.
I wrote my bullet point was Shape of Water because I thought it looked like Shape of Water. My next quote is Shape of the Water, like smoke on the water.
You're on fire.
I was really feeling myself.
Just shooting shots left and right.
She goes back to the Fawn, then the labyrinth. Now, having completed task number one, she retrieved the key. She's bringing the key to him, and he's like not as impressed as I thought he would be. To be honest,
kind of a dick about it.
I was a little disappointed. I thought we'd have more celebration.
And, some fireworks, some confetti.
Let's be a happy movie, you know. Let's celebrate wins.
He also, this is one of my, if not my favorite line of the movie, and it's like really stupid. But I just thought it was, like, really funny when he called himself a poor little fawn. I don't know why. It was because he's, like, so menacing and big. It's like, because she, like, calls him, like, why should I trust you? The first time she questions it, by the way. After she's already
seen
him. Yeah,
it's pretty late in the movie.
But this is when he gives her magic chalk for the first time.
Damn, he's got the chalk.
That chalk did some shit. That's some good chalk.
He was also not very instructive. Like, I would expect, you know, if I complete a quest and I give it the quest, the item I was supposed to retrieve, even if they told me up front there's three quests, I would expect, like, okay, this is quest number two. Because he kind of did that for the first one, right?
Yeah.
I think the next one, and then didn't he just trade her, like, the key for the...
He let her keep
the key. And then he got the hourglass and something else and the chalk.
Yeah, gave her
chalk. Wasn't a really good guide through this.
And then
he just gave her the things and was like, read the book.
Yeah.
Kind of useless, but, like, Ophelia really did what
professor.
She needed to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exactly what he was.
If you are the one, you find it, I guess. I don't know. I was expecting him to be like, well, no, he just...
At least help us out.
Hold on. No. Wait, is this the scene where he talks about the feast, or is that different?
He might have.
Gotta be. Yeah, I think that's the...
Or does
the,
he
that
see
one.
Her, I think he sees her one more time before the old poem.
Oh, yeah, because he sneaks into her room and gives her the fairies.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So this doesn't happen. Right. Ignore this, although I looked ahead and it's like four bullet points away, so it's not that long. I thought she had to take the baby. Well, oh, never mind. Take that back. Just realized that she did that. Okay, at this point in the movie, I thought she's going to have to bring the baby here because there's the stone of her holding the baby. So that's why I thought that at that point. And I was maybe right. Oh, next scene, Evil Book of Evil. This is when the book gets evil and red and her mom starts bleeding.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Was yeah.
Really and she just scary. Opens the door and her mom's just, like, bleeding.
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
That was a dark part of the movie. I thought she lost the baby at first.
Same.
And, that's like, what I thought was
the
happening,
step,
yeah.
The captain was going to be really pissed off and really do awful things.
Kill her.
Yeah.
Poison her.
Merc, no Merc, and Ophelia have, like, their first big scene together. And they were, like, maybe one of the best things in the movie. Is their
They had really good chemistry. Yeah. Totally.
And this is when she sings Ophelia the lullaby for the first time.
Mm. She doesn't know any words.
That's true. The next bullet point looks like Bro Bro Dr. Dig, but that can't be right. But
I think it might. Is that when the doctor comes in and, like, lets that guy die?
No.
Or is that way later?
I think it's way later. I think
that's way later.
The doctor may come in to, like, help the mom at this point.
Right.
And I think this is where, I don't know, maybe not.
He doesn't actually give her the medicine.
That bullet point is irrelevant. I think we're reading too much into this bullet point that says bro bro Dr. Dig that I wrote when I was...
It's gotta mean something.
I'll put a star next to it if I think of it.
Come back to it.
Okay, and then the next note. So this is when she sings the lullaby, and then that night Fawn comes into her room. And this is when he gives her the fairies and tells her, what does he tell her about the feast? Nada. He says nada. Like,
no
700 times. Nada, Ophelia. And what does she fucking do? Well, I think there's a reason for that. Okay. Oh, no. Okay, I know a bro, Dr. Dig. The doctor is going to the rebel camp because a very prominent leg scene is approaching.
Yeah!
That has to be what that means, because it's the only thing I think of. Okay. Fawn says, nada, going to dangerous places, gives her the fairies. My next two notes are, no, por qué his leg? So Mercedes and the doctor sneak off to the rebel camp, and we get the payoff for the leg, which this guy, is it her dad, or is it just the leader? It could be both.
I thought it was just some random dude.
I thought it was just some random dude, too.
He seemed too important.
He but seemed he like... never had anything else. He didn't come back. Did he die?
I don't know. But
we didn't see a one-legged guy the rest of the movie.
That's he might have. Didn't he say you might die? Damn. I mean, I don't think it was a very safe method.
They were just going at it with a hacksaw.
It's like the 1800s.
They were going at it with a hacksaw.
It was in 1944, Noah. We literally know the exact year.
It felt like the 1800s is all I'm saying. It felt really
well, they also
old.
Had like a radiator that she hid the book behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, like if you take out away like the radiator and the cars and the guns, it really like the vibe of it felt 1800s.
Well, that's like the magical world part of it.
It's rural Spain in 1944. I think that basically is the 1800s. Okay, so the effect they went with for the leg amputation was like maybe more disturbing than if they had just shown it. Somehow.
Yeah, it was gnarly.
Yeah.
Did not like that.
So, like, the doctor goes, his leg's fucked, and he's like, my guy, your leg is fucked. So he basically tells him he has to amputate it, and he gets out, like, a rickety-ass bone saw, and, like, just puts it up against his leg, and, like, everyone's watching, like, standing around.
It's like a crowd around. I noticed that, too. It was like a sports game.
Doesn't he say something
they got
like,
nothing else going on.
He's like, are you ready to start? Like, we can't go back. Like, obviously. And then the guy's like, needs a moment. Which that even makes it worse, because, like, you
he
know
just, like,
he's...
He just, like, stares at it, and he's like,
don't take the moment.
He's like...
Like, him soaking in that moment, like, and he plays it so well, even though this is, like, his only scene, but, like, you could tell he, like, has a, like, well, I'm about to be in the most pain of my whole fucking life. And I'm about to lose my fucking leg.
Take one more swig.
Yeah, it is. Oh, God. And then the way they cut it is the doctor plunging in, and you see him break the skin, and you just see, like, a glimpse
and the blood
of the shit, and it cuts away. And, like, somehow that's worse. I know it's not, it can't be, but it's somehow worse than just showing his leg, whole leg getting amputated. Because it just leaves everything to your imagination. Like, they showed you everything, and you already know what it looks like. Like, you've already cursed me.
Yeah,
it was gnarly. Yeah. You really felt it. I really felt like I do not want my leg
5 minutes
sawed off.
My left knee fucking wasn't high anymore.
Way down.
Oh God. Okay, she uses the chalk. After this is what we're cut to.
Goes to the chalk zone.
She goes to the chalk zone. With the chalk, if she like draws a door on stone, it has to be like stone, right?
Because it's the 1800s.
So,
I only think I don't think they said, but they like kind of imply it with the way she escapes the feast.
Yeah, she had to like draw it on the
ceiling.
Roof.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she draws a door on her wall and pushes through, and she enters the Feast of Doom. There's really one rule of the Feast of Doom, and it's nada, and she didn't follow it. This scene. How did you guys feel about this scene?
The guys like listen to the fairies, and then the fairies are like, open this little lock thing, and then she's like, nah, I'm gonna open this one.
Did not understand that.
Yeah, I was like, why did she have to open it? What did she get out of there? Another key?
What was the objective of that room?
Well, she got the dagger.
Oh, that's right.
Oh. Then why'd she eat the grapes?
She was just enchanted.
Following that rule.
Well,
get the dagger and leave. I guess she didn't have any good food.
I guess. All right, because we already talked.
The food
looked
really good.
So you would have eaten food. You would have had a crepe.
Few things about this scene.
Tough not to.
This is the first time where I'm like, all right, Ophelia, what the fuck are we doing here? There's a reason for that, though. Well, there's kind of a reason for it. The director said the movie's about authority versus disobedience. So Ophelia is basically exclusively disobedient because she's like fighting the authorities of her stepfather. But that's why she breaks like basically every rule. It's on purpose. Okay. Oh, other thing about this, the director is Catholic. But this scene was actually a criticism of Catholicism, He was saying,
"You're taking away all my fun facts."
Sorry. Yeah, he said it's like an analogy for like Catholics eating children instead of eating the feast in front of them, or like the church, the leaders, the church.
They eat children?
That's news to me.
Well, I think it's probably about
the church, bro.
Sexual.
I knew they do it other stuff to children, but
yeah, I think that's what he's talking about.
Ah.
We got there.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. So yeah, so she walks in, one of the creepiest dudes of all time. Just sitting perfectly still. It's so unsettling.
Oh, saggy Voldemort.
Because you just know he's about a jerk. Oh, Jesus.
And like, oh, when like the camera was like on her face and you knew he was right behind her, so you couldn't see if he was still there, but you're like, oh, is he just going to be on the side? Man. Yeah.
So well done. So anxious through this scene.
And when
he moves so slow, though.
Yeah. Well, he can't see out of and she takes the plate to look at his eyeballs. Like, I was like, oh, don't do that. That's no...
Idiot.
He's, like, perfectly still. It's so unsettling. So, yeah, she does not nada. She eats two grapes. And that awakens Ol' Palm Eyes. He does have a name. It's the Pale Man, but I like Ol' Palm Eyes better.
The Pale Man is not very
warm.
Is that his name?
Pale Man, yeah. Pale Man? Oh. She takes the eyeballs from his plates and puts them in his palms because they're not in his eye sockets. And he does that. Well, they can't see
the pocket. Moose antlers.
Yeah,
where
moose
his
antlers
eyes should
over
be.
The face to his eyes. Yes.
I have so many questions about this monster. Like, where did it come from? Why?
It's just chilling there. It eats children.
But is that like a real, like, not obviously it's not real, but is it like a real mythology, or did the dude just make it up himself?
I think they just kind of made it up. I don't think it's like, I don't know. I don't think the fawn is like based off of a lot of things, but I don't know about.
Yeah, that's mythology.
Eyes. Yeah. I don't know.
Because for whatever reason, I feel like the toad is. Because, like, big toads feel like a thing, you know?
Yeah.
That feels like some sort of mythology.
Yeah. Okay. He eats two fucking fairies.
Bites their heads off.
Yeah. Full-blown decapitation of fairies.
I like these fairies. They were trustworthy.
They were. Yeah, they were homies. They're like trying to fight it, and he just grabs them and just bites their head off.
And this was like a great escape scene when she's like trying to run away, and like she has to draw the door on the ceiling and push through, and it's like
she has to step up on the top of the chair.
Yeah. Oh god. So
she has some upper body strength though.
Yeah.
That she does. I could not do that.
I can. She had to do like a full pull up.
Probably why we're not the chosen one.
Yeah. No. That's where anything I couldn't fit through the first hole, I would not be able to do a pull-up. I would that guy would have got me for sure.
I would have been able to do nada. I think I would have. Okay, so yeah, she gets the dagger. So that's her. So that was the second task. First task, she got the key. Second task, she got the dagger. We get like a great classic. We have something to fight for, Doctor, because he's like, why are you guys doing this? You kill this captain, they're going to send another captain who's just another captain. And yeah, one of them gives a triumphant, heartfelt speech, brave heart speech.
That was inspiring.
Really. Yeah.
That was inspiring.
Okay, my next bullet point is much earlier, ... This was one of the things I was going to write to go back to, but I forgot. Forgot what it was, so it just says much earlier.
We don't have the actual point.
Nice. we'll come back to it later.
So, okay. I think the captain said something bad here because I wrote Capitan. I don't remember what it was.
You can just assume he does something bad.
Yeah. Bad things. The baby... Okay, so the fawn comes back when she sleeps that night. And she's like, I got the dagger. And then, he's like, my mom's not doing well. So that's when he gives her the mandrake root and says to put it in milk with blood or something and put it under her
bed.
Doesn't
he, like, yell at her, though?
Well, that happens after this.
Cause that's later.
It is. I think it's here. Because she gives the fairies back. It has to be here.
Yeah.
Because that's how he finds out, when he realized two of his fairies are fucking dead. He was like, you disobeyed! Which, again, authority versus disobedience. You disobeyed me. And he yells at her and says, you are not the princessa. And leaves in a huff.
Real pissed.
Yeah. She puts the root under her mom's bed, and this is when that girl, like, was so good in this movie. But this is, like, I think her best part, where she gives, like, the monologue to her unborn brother.
Yeah. Oh. Was this the one where she's like, "Please don't kill mom"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was well done.
Yeah, that was brutal.
that hits hard.
Yeah. Next bullet point, fuck yo train. So this is the rebels like counterattack where they blow up a train and they don't steal anything, and then they're like,
yeah,
why didn't they take anything? And then they ascend from the other direction.
It's a distraction, a bamboozle.
Whatever. Vortex.
The old 1-2. And they embark, and I wrote pew pew. Because there's lots of that's what the guns kind of sound like. Yeah. We didn't touch on it much, but his like watch breaks in this, or cracks in this sequence, which like his watch is like a big part of his character.
Oh.
His
that like passing legacy on to the kid, the son.
Yeah.
Also, that wasn't his dad's watch.
Yeah, so it was his dad's watch, and it broke when his dad died. And so they gave it to him so he would always know what time his dad died. But he fixed it, because he's a fucking psychopath. Yeah. That's part of his thing. And he was going to do the same thing for his son. We'll get to that later. But yeah, his watch kind of breaks. So like, the watch is like important to him. And so he was like...
The big fuck you.
Fuck you. Brutal battle, and one resistance person gets captured as a prisoner. This is the torture scene.
Oh my god.
This was brutal. It was so brutal. It was like, again, like he found a way to make it more brutal. When first it's like you see Mercedes see the guy. And then the door closes on him, so it's like, you know, like, she's just, like, imagining how bad he's getting fucked up, and then they fuck him up. And it's like, somehow this is worse, because I know this is what she thinks it is, and it is that bad. Yeah.
No. This movie is really fucking depressing. Holy shit. I didn't realize it until just now.
Noah's like, there's a fucking fun! It was a shitty
thing after shitty thing.
It's a magical Disney movie. It's all happy.
There's uno, dos, tres. I have a bullet point that says, wasn't taking the dries. I don't know what that means.
The dries?
The stutter guy?
Well, uno, dos, tres is the one immediately after this. So, but I don't know what the wasn't taking the dries means.
The tries?
I don't know. Uno, dos, tres, the stutter scene. Gnarly. It's just so bad. Like, it's just hard to watch. And then, yeah, I just wrote, oh man, this is like when the torture starts in earnest. And then El Doctor comes to, after they beat the shit out of him, to like, they want him to stay alive, and he has mercy and kills Resistance Man.
Injects him with some good stuff.
Yeah,
gives him a little life potion.
The good.
God, this movie's every single scene that we're reading off is such a banger.
This movie is so fucking good.
Okay. Ophelia broke another rule here, and I don't remember what it was. I think is this where this must be where the mandrake root gets thrown in the fire. I think
she gets caught under the bed.
Yeah,
she gets caught under the bed, and
the guy throws it in the fire.
Yeah,
and says it's not real.
And then the mom like immediately is like in pain. Starts like bleeding, and she goes into labor, and predictably, the baby survives, and the mom does not.
Yeah, not really a shocker there.
Yeah, I wrote a frowny face with a tear.
Aww. Oh, so sad.
Hi, Eric, yeah. Was sad.
So El Capitan has a son. He's also been able to deduce that Mercedes is like their inside person, because they kind of infer that Resistance Man talked a little bit during his torture. So he takes her to the torture chamber and ties her up. And this is where the whole movie she's been tucking a knife into her belt, and it finally paid off, because this is one of the best scenes of the movie.
This is my favorite scene.
She takes the knife. What? Noah looked like he was about to say something. He was confused again.
No, keep going. Keep going.
She takes the knife, undoes her ropes, and starts stabbing him, and does a fucking Joker cut.
Half Joker.
That's what I was going to say. God damn it.
Knife in the mouth and makes it a half Joker.
Yeah.
Cool. He gets Jokered.
Yeah. And then...
What a badass.
Yeah. And then, he has her...
Yeah, she's, like, kind of a fucking awesome character.
She is.
She does some badass stuff.
She might be the best character in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joker cuts, escapes. The captain sends his first mate out to capture her. The Resistance ambushes the team, which was, like, awesome the way they did that.
I feel like she outran the horses for a really long time, though.
Well, she's a merc.
But still, the horses are so fast.
They were running just as fast as she was.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible on her part, though. I agree, Squank.
But yeah, she doesn't make it quite far. I mean, in my head, she had a head start, but I guess they're...
It didn't look like that much of a head start.
Not enough. But yeah, they like they catch up to her and surround her, and then they all just start getting shot by the ambush. So that was cool. The Fawn semi forgives Ophelia and says, "I'll let you try this last task."
I feel like that was just out of nowhere. He came back.
Yeah. I don't know.
Not a very patient guy.
No. Yeah, so she's forgiven, and she does chalk for the third time. She chalks it up.
She loves that chalk.
Yeah. That's how she breaks into...
Captain's
room.
Right?
Captain's quarters. Yes. She's like, the door's locked. I can't get my brother, because Afon's like, bring your brother to the labyrinth. And he was like, well, chalk.
At that point, I kind of knew he was evil.
But was he?
That's when I would have started been questioning the things he tells me to do.
So yeah, she chalks, and she chalks in to the captain's quarters. And this is this is one of the scenes where like the real world and fantasy world connect, because the chalk is real in the real world. Right? She got it from the Fawn. And she puts it on the desk and he picks it up. So, I don't know. I don't know about that. Anyway.
So what happens if he uses the chalk?
I don't know. He did just destroy it immediately.
No.
She gets the brother. Oh, this is when he starts stitching his own scar up.
Oh yeah,
that brutal. Was fucking gnarly. Zing. Holy shit, gruesome.
Just and then he takes again, the shot. Just
so many. Yeah, nasty. So yeah. Many uncomfortable scenes in this movie where you just feel gross.
It just drooled out of his mouth or out of his stitches.
Through the gauze. Ugh. Yeah. Ugh.
He gets hardcore.
Yeah. And this is where, because she, okay, so two things happen. She gets her brother, but she brings the sleeping potion from earlier that's been unused and puts drops in his drink. So she's trying to kill him.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. I didn't put that together.
She's like, figured out it's poison. Because she never gave it to her mom, and her mom started getting better.
Well, I'm starting to think this was actually pretty obvious.
Okay.
So, I don't know how we both missed it like the whole time, though. It must have been that obvious.
I don't know.
Tom, did you pick up on it?
No, I didn't catch it either.
All right, so okay. It wasn't as obvious as it seemed. Eric's just a wizard.
Okay.
But Eric, you noticed it right away, or did you just notice it after you read the Wikipedia?
No, I don't even think the Wikipedia mentions the poison, so there's... I feel like I'm in the vast minority on the poison.
It can't be that obvious.
I don't know. Alright. Okay, so it's like the classic, as she's leaving, bombs start going off. Like, right where she is in his line of sight. And so he sees her, and she makes a dash for it. And she chases him to the labyrinth, brother in hand, and the menacing El Capitan behind her. And it's all coming to a head. It's all coming
Things
to
are ramping up.
Ramping up. Well... in the movie. We are ramping down because that is the end of this episode.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Incredible transition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incredible job.
Perfect timing because I'm at like 2%.
All right. I guess, Squank, do your fuck this thing first then.
Well, it was the eating of the fairies when they just like popped their heads off and just like, I couldn't
like,
watch that.
Like gushers.
Yeah. He just like, and he didn't even eat all of them. He just bit the heads off. It's like what my cat does with mice.
All right. Well, thank you. If your phone dies in the next like 3 minutes, thank you, Squank, for being on this episode.
I'm working on the iPad.
Okay.
So
okay. I could
come back immediately.
Okay.
But it's a pleasure.
Okay. Tom, what is your fuck this thing?
My fuck this thing is not movie related. Is that all right?
Yeah, oh, mine isn't either.
All right. I don't know if guys do this in America, but here it is a new style to have a designer man purse, like a Louis V or a Gucci man purse. It's, you know, it's pretty small. It hangs on the side.
It's very European of you, Tom.
What brand is yours?
My
Tom doesn't have a designer one. He's an off-brand kind of guy.
Off-brand. He bought a Louis for like $20 off a guy with a rug on the corner
off a street corner in New York.
They just bother me so much. They just look so dumb. I don't know
what I'm getting you for Christmas.
I would yes, just for the picture of Tom and that.
Oh, Rudolph.
All right, Noah, do you have your fuck this thing ready?
Yeah, my fuck this thing is Netflix whenever they try to cut off the credits. Sometimes I like watching credits. I like the music. Sometimes
with
they do
movies,
it well, but they always cut it off.
Noah, I see what you're saying. It's too quick. It's much too quick.
It's 5 seconds. If it were 15, 20 seconds.
Yeah, because it's sometimes it doesn't even get to the cast. Like, sometimes I want to see the cast. And it doesn't even get to it sometimes.
And sometimes they have, like, little extra
features. You can't just sit with it, you know?
Too.
Yeah. Tom, you disagree.
I can't say I agree with that.
Come at me,
Tom.
Come on.
They should have, like, they have the skip intro button. They should have it at the end, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, where's your choice?
That's fucking genius.
But you're not. We're not given a choice. We're given no choices.
Netflix.
We're not. We have to go out of our way to go back to it. Absurd.
All right. My fuck this thing. I'll do Mozilla Firefox. A bunch of people seem to. A bunch of people seem to be think it's better than Chrome, and I tried it for like 3 days, and it was terrible. So
it's so bad.
It sucks.
That was like
Chrome is like the best one.
I had
it's not close.
Desktop in like 04.
I'll say it's better than Edge, but that's because it's more like Chrome or like Internet Explorer.
Edge is awful.
Edge
is
the
such
new...
a diluted version of Chrome.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's not.
I don't
not,
even know what the fuck Edge is.
Is it the new Internet Explorer? Is Internet Explorer still a thing?
Yeah. They're both still a thing, but that's Edge is their new thing, and I think
they're both awful.
That. Yeah. Oh yeah, they're unusual.
They should just quit.
Okay.
This is all thing from Squank.
All right. Tom, thank you for joining us. I don't think I actually thanked you because I just thought Squank was going to leave immediately. Thank you
pleasure.
For joining this one. You guys will be back for the second one.
Absolutely.
Where we will cover the dramatic conclusion. We'll talk about fun facts aplenty. And we'll have some other things. But until that, stay high, everybody.
Stay
blazed.
Buffalo soldier, dreaded.